his journey so far.
I've grown up in a Christian family and have attended church all my life. I've been fortunate to go to a Christian school and I have great supportive Christian friends. However, it's only been in the past year or two that I've actually been walking as a Christian and not just on Sundays. This has been a gradual journey of me trusting in God as I've matured. A big part of my faith journey has been at Mill Valley Ranch, which is a Christian youth camp where I first attended as a camper and now go as a volunteer during the holidays. You lead with a bunch of fellow Christians your age from all over Victoria and have loads of fun. I've been in charge of cabins of boys and as well as activity groups. The people at Mill Valley Ranch are such lovely people and so eager to learn more about Jesus. It's really encouraging for my faith to see people my age with the same values and beliefs. I've learned so much and made lots of really great friends. One of the people that has challenged me is my mate Nando. He's helped me actually make the change and helped motivate me into discipline and to what I believe and live it out. Being a Christian to me means that I have let go of my old ways and earthly ambitions, and that I believe in Jesus' death and resurrection. Here in Romans 8:6 tells us that the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is peace, is life and peace. This verse has really stuck with me as it sums up the importance of God living, of following God and living for Him. Something I've toyed with is trying to go my own way, but this verse has really helped. Just recently, I went to Planet Boom Youth in the city with my friend Delant, which was amazing. The speaker was talking on Romans 10, specifically verse 9 and 10, which states, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Being baptized is the next step in my faith journey. And as these verses say, if you declare with your mouth that you are saved and believe with your heart that you are saved, you'll be saved, which I do. Thank you.
Hop on in, Nathaniel. If you'd like, and you can't see, and you want a good view, you can stand up. It was a good idea taking your shoes and socks off. All right. Nathaniel, do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Well, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What a special moment, eh? There's more coming. Jethro, come up here, little champion.
I'm so shaky, I can barely hold the mic.
You're good.
Well, hello, my name's Jethro, and in case you haven't guessed, I'm getting baptized. So I haven't had any big life experiences or anything like that to talk about, but that's kind of a good thing. So, I'm thankful for that. I'm getting baptized now because I've always felt that little voice saying, "Get baptized," every time I saw somebody that I knew getting baptized. And being baptized is an outward sign to show everybody that here that I love God. So since I have the chance, I'm taking it. I've been surrounded by a Christian family and friends and gone to church all my life. So I've always understood that God is real, he loves me, and that he wants me as his child. I really enjoy when we're singing at church. Sometimes I feel my heart is ringing with joy, and our words have power and a deeper meaning. I'm very blessed to be born into such a great Christian family. I think that it's great that from the start, I got to know Jesus. We all listen to each other and teach each other. We all listen to each other most of the time, and we all care about each other. Everybody has God show through, and we try to treat each other the way God would. I'm so thankful for the Bible and the insight that it gives us to just how much God loves us. Because in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you.
Good on you, Jethro.
Anyone else want a baptism? All right, come on this way, Jethro. Jethro, do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, on the basis of your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I think we baptized three of the front ones here at the same time. You're good guys. So. Zachy, I've followed your journey a bit. This is exciting.
Hello everyone. Yeah, my name is Zach and I'll be sharing a little bit about how God has been working in my life over the last couple of years. So a bit of background. I grew up in Mauritius. Yeah, my parents are missionaries over there. And so most of my childhood was spent there. And reflecting back on that now, I guess two takeaways is that I developed an appreciation, if not love, for different cultures and a real awareness of the spiritual battle we face as Christians. But I won't be focusing on that too much today. I'll be focusing more on the last couple of years. So to jump forward a few years, I guess leaving Plenty Valley Christian College and entering the hostile world of Melbourne Uni was a pretty big change. Going from a place where everyone sort of knew I was a Christian and mostly accepted that to a place where Christianity was deemed laughable, hateable, or just ignorable. It can be quite isolating to feel that like you're the only Christian in a room of 20 to 100 students. But yeah, one of the benefits of going to uni is that there's also Christian unions around. Joining Christian Union or CU is that you're not alone on a big campus. There's a group of like-minded young adults to journey with you through your degree. A key moment where that was made clear was at the national training event last year in December, where Christian unions from all around the country gathered together in Canberra to be transformed, trained, and sent out. There were over 2,000 young adults declaring that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and desiring others to do the same. One encouragement, it was such a blessing and an opportunity to not only get to know CU friends better, but to meet total strangers and have Jesus in common. But of course, at uni, you aren't always with your Christian friends. Sometimes you're alone in a class and an opportunity to talk about Jesus or Christianity presents itself. It has happened to me on a couple of occasions where it would be quite natural to bring it up, but both times I froze. I'm not sure whether I was scared or just didn't know the words to say. What was I afraid of? The gospel? It sounds strange, doesn't it, being scared or ashamed of the gospel? And in not talking to people about the good news I had received, was I being selfish too? I wrestled with that for a few weeks afterwards. I decided that to be ashamed of the best news I'd ever heard was ridiculous. I had to trust that the Holy Spirit would give me the words to say, as it is promised in Luke 12. And when the opportunity to be baptized came up, I leapt at it, as it was an opportunity to publicly declare my faith and to testify the work of Christ in me. So what's the takeaway from my testimony? First, surround yourselves with Christians who encourage and challenge you to grow in your faith, who are willing to pray with you and for you. And second, be on the lookout for opportunities to, as Peter writes, give an answer for the hope that we have. And what a joyous hope it is. Thank you.
I think you're the only one who's come with flip-flops. Or thongs. All right. Zach, do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Well, on the basis of your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Melody. Your turn.
Hey, y'all. Well, most of you probably know me. My name's Melody. I've been here for quite a while, you could say. So I've been blessed to grow up in a Christian household, gone to church my whole life, but only in recent years have really taken faith by the horns and been like, I want to follow Jesus. I've prayed the prayer many times in my life, but never really understood what it meant to really walk as a Christian and in the faith. Throughout my life, I have felt the Spirit's guidance, but there were a few years when I ignored it and suppressed it and really drifted in the world. And those were times of doubt, depression, and anger, really. I hated myself in those years. And that anger came probably from the suppression and the ignoring my sin. And so knowledge that I had ignored it and yet still willfully ignoring it really compounded that anger, and it hurt a lot. But when I turned back and repented of my sin, I once again felt the Lord's peace come over me, and I could finally start feeling whole again. It was only recently this year that I finally dived deeper into faith, not just reading the word, but understanding it. Things that made no sense before have opened up and revealed things that I could not have guessed. And I've seen a real beauty in God's creation, which sings God's promises. Psalm 19 is a recent favorite of mine and doubles as a prayer. The last verse is one of the first verses I ever memorized. I'll read it to you guys. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words into the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the law are worthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive me my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. At times, God has felt far away, times when I could not feel his presence, and it was terrifying. But it's a reminder of what faith truly is: confidence in what we hope for, reassurance in what we do not see. Hebrews 11, verse 1. We might not be able to hear him, see him, or feel him, but I can be reassured that he is there no matter what I may feel. Today, in being baptized, it's a massive step in faith, to be honest, the largest I've ever taken in my life. But through this, I hope that God will expand my faith and that I shall grow closer to him, love what he loves, hate what he hates, and will see what he has set for me to do in my life. Thank you.
Melody, do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Well, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Justin, the moment you've been waiting for. The fan club.
All right. Hello, everyone. Hi. I thought I would give a brief overview of the last two or so years of how God has been working in my life and then explain why I'm getting baptized. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, I had a lovely community around me of amazing Christians. It was great. I didn't need to ask very many questions, so I could easily accept my faith. But then, you know, moving country, moving state, moving school, things started to pop up. And especially, as Zach pointed out, entering uni is an interesting place. It's often very hostile to Christianity, and I found that pretty challenging. If you're a uni student, every day we go into an environment that is pretty hostile and doesn't really view Christianity in the greatest light. So I was exposed to a bunch of questions, both internally and externally, from very intelligent people that challenged the way that I looked at the world. So even the smallest counter-argument would really discourage me in those times. But most of the time, I had enough going on that I could just ignore those questions and move on, but they built up without me knowing, just sort of gradually feeding doubts in my mind and festering. So that culminated about a year ago into a phase of depression, which involved just lying in bed for days, not being motivated, just feeling generally horrible, not being very kind to my parents or my friends. It was not great. The doubts that I had kind of been gathering over the years had grown too large for me to ignore. I couldn't ignore the gravity of those questions. So I was refusing to look for answers, but I was gathering questions, and I was telling myself I would rather believe the truth and feel horrible than believe a lie and be in blissful ignorance. But I really just didn't give it a chance. I wasn't asking the questions. I wasn't giving Christianity sort of an opening to speak into my life. Cut to IDT, Intensive Discipleship Training, which Ollie led at the start of this year in January. I was forced, painfully, to confront the buildup of those questions. But in the process, God miraculously gave me faith. I don't know how it happened or when it happened exactly, but you know, I'll point to the verses that say, "Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened." So it'd be very neat for me to be able to prescribe what to do to experience the kind of radical, bizarre transformation of faith that I experienced there. But to be honest, it was God. I had nothing to do with it aside from just standing at the door and knocking. So, yes, as I said, I was standing at the door for a while and I was too afraid to knock on it. But I'm thankful to all my Christian friends and family who pressured me to stay at the door, even if you didn't realize that you were doing that, giving me enough time to sort of gather the courage to knock. So before IDT, I was dreading that confronting of questions, and I was worried that that would kind of destroy God. He wouldn't really survive the process. He did survive the process, but he actually grew much stronger through the process. My perception of God was changed drastically, and I feel like I was transformed in a way that can't really be attributed to the things of this world. So, you know, that's my testimony there. So what does that have to do with baptism, why I'm here today? Well, I think baptism is another step in the right direction. So it's a public declaration, and it's also a declaration to myself that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In one sense, this is a way for me to stay accountable to you guys, but in another, it's an act of obedience to God, and it'll strengthen my faith like all acts of obedience do. So maybe it'll even help you to consider your faith, to see us getting baptized. I hope it does. But in the end, I'm doing this because God has told me to, and he knows much more than I do. I'd just like to give a couple thank yous, namely to Ollie for kind of guiding me through this and being a leader. And also to my parents for kind of managing me in my worst times and just being awesome in general. I have amazing friends, Christian friends and family, but you guys have been just fantastic. You've really been the salt of the world to me. And especially my friend Sam over there. We've had some great chats, and you're just a very stable representation of godly living for me. And also you guys, I really appreciate how welcoming you've been and how you kind of cultivate a community of honesty and... Yeah, we're just very integrated. So that's about it. Thank you.
Baptize backwards as well. Justin, do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
On the basis of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, there you go. Doesn't get better than that. feel free. Just grab a seat again. All the kids, did you want to head down the back? I think there's a bit of stuff happening with Dylan-y right down the very back. What a time. And it's a time where you reflect yourself. It's a time where you think deeply about your own faith and maybe put your mind back to when you were baptized as well. It is a crossing of a line, as I said before. I'll hand over to Ollie and he'll add a few words.
Thanks, Mike. Oh, got about 3 or 4 testimonies here. No problem here. Morning, everyone. Just to note, after the service or you're having a bit of bite to eat, this area is a bit slippery. We'll try and towel it up a bit, but... It's been so wonderful to hear all of that. And it's amazing just hearing the journey of different people in their lives. And every single person in this world has a journey. They have a life and they have a story. And it is a blessing when we're able to connect the journey of our life with God. I've found that myself. And I'm just going to spend a bit of time just unpacking a few reflections that I think are common to many, if not all of us. And particularly looking at how Jesus speaks into these experiences. But before I do that, I'd love to pray. So bow your heads with me and close your eyes if that helps you to focus as we pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you call people, that you are active, that you are living. And today, Lord, I believe you're calling people. And so, Father, we just ask that by your Spirit, you would do a work in our hearts, in each of our hearts, Lord, even those who have answered your call and said yes, even those who have already taken the step of baptism, Lord. You call to us. You say, I want to come and to be with you, to see your life flourish in goodness, to see your life set free from the burdens and the weights and the things that weigh you down. And so, Lord, we ask that we would answer your call in your holy name. Amen. Well, I wanted to share with you a few stories, actually, from my life. And they're stories that are... I can't remember all of the details, but I definitely remember these things happening on multiple occasions. And so it's sort of epitomizing this experience. And the first one is a story that's happened to me, and the story involves laziness, distraction, and guilt. And I was coming home one day, pretty tired from my day, a bit wrecked, got home and helping Doiny, my wife, getting our kids to bed, popping them off to bed, and then, you know, you're sort of like, whew, really settling in then. And Doiny turned to me and said, she says, Yubi, that means my love in Romanian, which is where Doiny's from. She says, Yubi, would you be able to wash the dishes? Guess what happened inside of me? I did not delight at the prospect of that. And I thought, but it's good to do that. So I said, yep, I'll wash the dishes. Wouldn't be begrudgingly, but not with zeal or desire to wash the dishes by any stretch of the means. And I said to Dawny, I've just got a few texts I need to write, so I'll just do those first and then I'll do it after that. So I'm there writing these texts and replying, and then something in one of the texts just triggers a thought. And I thought, oh, that'd be very interesting just to like figure out a bit more stuff about. So I hop online, do a bit of Googling, end up on a Wikipedia page, and I'm researching this thing and having a look, and I'm learning all this stuff that I've never learnt about, and it's quite fascinating. So I go along, and then as I'm going through this article on Wikipedia, I'm noticing it's mentioning this person's name a bit, and I'm like, I have never heard of that person. They sound very interesting. And I notice the first time this person's name is mentioned, it's underlined and in blue, and that means there's a link. So I click on this link and it takes me to another article on Wikipedia explaining more about this person. And I'm like, oh, this makes a lot more sense of the first page I was reading about. So I begin reading about this person and then I hear about how there's this certain part of their life that really informed their journey. And so I start realizing, oh, well, I'd like to learn about that. And before you know it, 2.5 hours have gone past. And at points, my wife comes and gives me a loving, gentle prod. Says, Oliver, are you doing the dishes? And by this point, the laziness that I've had has gone down a path of distraction. And over 2.5 hours later, I'm starting to feel guilty. And I'm feeling like, oh, the dishes, I just don't want to do them. Don't want to get up. And I'm learning so much here. That's called justification, if you haven't identified that. And the guilt got heavier and heavier upon me. And do you know what? The dishes did not get done that night. And I went to bed feeling very guilty. Do you relate to that? Have you experienced that? I think that we are much more enslaved in this life than we realize. Day in and day out. You might not have chains on your wrists or a ball and chain around your ankles, but you and I are probably much more enslaved than we realized. We can go to things like Wikipedia. It might be YouTube for you. It might be something else, but you can go to these things when you're bored. You might be feeling guilty about something that you've done. And so you're going there and you're covering over the guilt that you're feeling. You're just trying to smooth over. There's a denial that it's there and you're just burying it under video after video on YouTube or article after article on Wikipedia. It might be pain. You might have been hurt by someone that day. They said something that was really cutting. And you were just so torn up, that hurts, doesn't it? How do you handle that? How do you numb that? You might be going there to block that out. And you know, what I've realized as well as I've journeyed through life, Lord willing, I have much ahead of me, but I notice how much we point at other people and we say, I'm not as bad as that person. That person over there, they take drugs. That person over there, they drink a lot of alcohol. You could call them an alcoholic, but I'm all right. No, you're not. I'm not. It's a different form of slavery, isn't it? You might be on Netflix. competitor Netflix. It's called binge. We just say it outright, don't we? Come and binge with us. Cover your guilt. Cover your pain. Come and wallow in your boredom and laziness. Yeah, I'll hop on binge, I'll go on Netflix. It might be pornography. Or it might be something that's actually admirable, like work. It might be a workaholic. Do you know what? There was someone who resigned recently from their work because they recognized how much it had consumed them. And that was the leader of this state. The reason they gave that Dan Andrews said, I'm going to stop being the premier, is because he said, my work has so consumed me. Now, I don't know what's happened that got him to that point. We have that term, a workaholic, someone who is enslaved to their work. It could be shopping. It might be chocolate every time you're paying for petrol. And just that candy bar is helping ease that guilt or remove that feeling that you've got. But does it really? It remains. And it's interesting. As I've reflected on my own journey with this, trying to handle my own issues or the things that are happening in my life, and as I step back at times and say, wow, how did I get here doing this? Where did all that time go? I start to realize the guilt gets even heavier and it compounds and it compounds and it compounds, and I just get layered and crushed under all this guilt of waste of time. And often, the things that I'm exposing to myself to as I'm trying to handle this, they expose me to things like envy, to lust, to greed, to be proud, to be more lazy. What do you think that's going to manifest in my life? What do you think that's going to look like? And when I turn to the Bible, I find here words that are so accurate, and I'm like, whoa, how that cuts. One of Jesus' disciples, Peter, he wrote a letter, and in it he said these words. It's just very simply said, a person is a slave to whatever has mastered them. A person is a slave to whatever has mastered them. I don't know what it is for you, whether it's Wikipedia, something is. You might consider it in your own mind as tamed as that, but if you're on Wikipedia, you're no different from the alcoholic or the drug addict at the end of the day. You're simply trying to handle. They might have had a more intense level of guilt, a more intense level of shame, a more intense level of pain than you. I don't know. I don't know the journey, but it's so similar. Let me tell you another story. There was a time I was with a group of friends, and we were standing around and we were chatting. I was really enjoying the conversation and the discussion, and we're talking, and then suddenly one of the people in the group, one of my mates, he starts telling this story about an animal and this interaction with an animal. And I thought, man, that's really funny. And all of a sudden I started thinking, oh, I remember that time. And I thought about this time I had an interaction with a kangaroo. It was really, I thought, that is an even better story than this one. So I waited politely for my friend to finish his story. And then I told my story about this kangaroo and how I'd managed to get right up to it and touch it. And it was a wild kangaroo. And, you know, then it suddenly jumped in. And my friends were just listening so engrossed in what I was talking about. And then I finished and they were all just laughing and laughing. And I was like, see, I knew that was a better story. And I was, like this. But in that moment, I was just simply looking for significance in the eyes of my friends, for acceptance from them, and to make myself feel like I was valuable. And that was the reason that I told that story. I don't know if you see that in your own life. How many times you do something, how many times you're with friends and you tell a story, you make a joke, you do something because you're wanting them to laugh and you're building your capital in their eyes of how good they think you are. You're building the trademark of your life before them. And you're wanting to know everyone just how good a person Oliver Crispin is, or insert your own name in there, how good a person they are. It's amazing how pervasive that is. And that can take all sorts of areas, not only conversations, that can that can impact the way that you perform your work. You can be so driven because you want to earn your boss's approval at work. You want to receive that. You can be so driven in your sporting or your study because you want people to approve of you and say, look at how good a sportsman I am. Look at how well educated I am. Look at what I can do. You know, this year in the VCE, there'll be many people, and I don't know them by name, but will probably be driven by these motives, by the praise of their parents or their friends, and they'll be pushing high marks. And the marks will be escalating because of those motives. How about Facebook? Man, we just put it right out there now, don't we? You just put like that snapshot of you, like having that beautiful meal down by the sunset, you know, in the beach, and like, oh man, how will the likes just start coming? And you're feeding off that. It's amazing just how forthright we are in seeking the praise and hungering after it from people. And yet, when we don't receive it right, you put that photo out there and you're hungering, you're looking for that praise, and it doesn't come. How do you feel? Not great. Down in the dumps. Man, that hurts. Do you see how vulnerable we make ourselves to what people think about us? That can inform your entire career direction, seeking out the praise of people around you. It brings me back to these words of Peter. A person is a slave to whatever has mastered them. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be your own sense, of desire for significance, acceptance, self-glory, whatever it is. If you're seeking that, that will find expression in some way, shape, or form, and you're going to be a slave under Facebook. You'll be a slave under the thumb of your boss. And you'll be so sensitive to anything they say. You might be always looking for the approval of your father or your mother, someone's important in your life or your value. And they might just be so ignorant of that. But anything that they say, you are so sensitive to. Like the amplification of your sensitivity to what they say is just turned up so extremely that you're just on edge in their presence. Not pleasant. We are slaves. And we do not realize it day in, day out. And as you walk around, as you go throughout your week, you hop on Facebook, you're in a conversation with a friend, you hop on YouTube, I encourage you to ask yourself this question. What is bringing me here? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? And consider some of the deeper things that are happening within you. I want to read to you a bit from the Bible about a time Jesus spoke to a group of people about slavery. This is from John chapter 8, and I'll read a few verses here from 31 to 36. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you are free indeed." I just want to unpack a few things here about what Jesus says. He says, first off, the things that I've spoken, my words, if you abide in them, if you make them your home, we talk about my humble abode, to abide, it's like making your home somewhere. If you make your home in what I have said, the words that I have spoken, then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Is there anyone here today who desires to be free from the slave of Facebook? Is there anyone here today who desires to be free from the slave of what their friends are thinking about them? Or free from YouTube? Would you like freedom from that today? I believe that you can find it in the words of Jesus Christ and in his life. That is what we just had five people giving testimony to, right? You could hear it ringing out. Do you remember what Melody was saying? She said, "I was running away. I was ignoring and in a sense denying my own sense of sin and guilt." Man, and she was standing here and saying, "Look at what that did in my life. It didn't reap any good fruit." Can you see that in your life? There is a way to be free. But it's so interesting, right? So he's saying, if you know my words, then you'll know the truth and that will liberate you. You'll be free from slavery. And the people listening are like, "What are you talking about? We're children of Abraham. Like, we're the people of Israel, descended from him. We have never been enslaved to anyone." Jesus is saying, no, not the slavery where you've got chains on your wrists and what you've got a ball and chain around you. It's the slavery to sin. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to it. Do you see that in your life? Have you struggled towards freedom and maybe clawed your way out a bit and then only to be sucked back down? Man, that's heavy. But he goes on and says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And the Son there is referring to Jesus, because Jesus identified himself, and through his resurrection from the dead, it became clear that he was the Son of the living God, sent from heaven, born of a woman. So he says two things here. Is the truth and the Son that sets you free. The truth of the Son. Do you have that in your life? And to what measure do you have that in your life, that you're walking in that freedom? Let me tell you another story. There was an occasion. I was yet again. It was probably YouTube this time. Clicking. Another video. And wasted a whole bunch of time. And the guilt hit me. And man, sometimes it hits lightly. Sometimes it hits you like a truck when you wake up. And man, you get knocked flat by it, don't you? The guilt hit me. You know what? I called out to Jesus. Not with my words, but in my heart, in my mind. I said, "I'm feeling this guilt. You've said that you will set me free. I need that." And I said, "I'm feeling," to the Lord I was praying. And I said, "I feel so bad about what I've done." And it's such a light thing, isn't it? But we all know that sense of guilt after spending too long before the computer, being sidetracked on the phone down a rabbit warren. And I was feeling that. And I just said, "Lord, I need freedom." And Jesus said, well, he came that we might put our trust and our faith in his sacrifice. That is that he died on the cross for our sins to set us free from how they hold us in bondage. And so I said, Lord, I want to put my faith in what you have done. If you say that that can set me free, that I can be liberated, that's what I want. And so I said to him, I confess and I acknowledge. I didn't hide. I brought it right out and I said, this is exactly what I've done. I've wasted all this time on YouTube. And what I needed to do, I haven't done. And now I've got to find more time later on to do what I needed to do. And that's going to be impacting others around me. And so I brought that right out in the open. And I said, Lord, I trust that through Jesus Christ, you have forgiven that. And I want to walk in faith of that. I want to believe that. You know what happened? My conscience became clean. Would you like that? A clean conscience from guilt? I didn't go back. You know when you're heavy under guilt and you're just like, oh, I've stuffed it up now. I might as well just go the whole way. Like you just don't even care at that point. Wow. When you're not caring, the stuff you get into at that point is just anything goes, you know, can feel like when you're in that place. Who cares? But coming to Jesus, it protected my conscience at that point. And I was able to have it cleansed by faith in what he had done. And I walked free. I didn't go back to YouTube. And I got up and I became responsible and I got on with what I needed to do. And I believe that he has come not only for me, not only for the five who testify today, but for everyone who would want that. Everyone who desires that type of freedom in their lives. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I believe, even though I don't know you from a bar of soap, that you will have some expression of slavery in your life to something. Might be really hardcore like a drug, or it might be really light like Wikipedia or whatever it is in your life. It doesn't matter. There is a person who can set you free, and it is Jesus. And I would like to say to you, if you want to take the step towards that today, then do that. Don't wait. Don't get muddled up or tangled up. But think clearly and think, yeah, I know one of these people here today, and I can see the difference that it has made in their lives. And if you would like that, then take steps towards that. I'm going to make myself available afterwards. I'll be mingling around. You can come up to me. You can come up to one of the people who shared their testimony today and say, hey, tell me more. Because as was read out, I'll just read this to you again. From Romans 10, there's simplicity here in coming to Jesus. It says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you need it. You need saving. And so, the belief that God, Jesus has been raised from the dead is belief in the work that God has done to set you free. And that's what does it. I'm going to invite the band up now. We're going to... Jumping the gun. Forgot something very important. I'm going to invite the five people up who are baptized to come and stand up the front. And we're going to pray for them shortly. My heart was warmed to hear these people share their testimony and their journey. A privilege to baptize each of them. I gave them all the opportunity. I said, you can ask anyone you like. And there was someone who was away, wasn't able to be here, but they all asked me. So it was a privilege to baptize each of you today. Real privilege. And what we're going to do now is I'll direct you in a second, but we'll scatter you around this room and then we'll all stand up and we're going to pray for these people that their journey of faith, as they were saying, this is a step continuing on the way of what's already been happening and what's going to continue. And I encourage you to pray whatever you sense the Lord may want you to pray for these people, to encourage them and to build them up in their faith and their journey. So what I'll do, I'll get two people to go at the back, two people at the front, and then one right in the middle. So you can choose. Great. Break up. And then... Let's all stand up, gather around, someone lay on hands, and then we'll pray together, and I'll close us in a few minutes. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are setting captives free. Even though we never see chains coming down, Lord. Ball and chain from around the ankles, Lord, yet there is a deep freedom that is found in you. And so, Father, we rejoice with the five who gave testimony and were baptized in your name today. And Father, we ask that through these testimonies, through the continued proclamation of your word, Lord, of those who believe in you and walk in your ways, Jesus, that others would go on to become liberated from the slavery they have probably not even perceived in their lives, Lord. Even as those people said, we're not slaves of anyone. We are free people. Lord, take away the blindness that we have to our slavery, that we might walk in your freedom and glorify your name, Lord, for you alone have done this work. To you be the honor and the praise. Amen. Amen. You can now grab a seat and the